Let's go ahead and read the first several verses. Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And that's where we find ourselves tonight, speaking about brotherly kindness. As I said last week, there's been a great shift over the last couple of words that we've studied that's gone through from the building blocks of the Christian character that you read about in the beginning of verse 5 going through verse 6 and really coming to the godliness point, which is the fulcrum between the building blocks and the train that pulls, the engine and the train that pulls it up the hill. And so godliness is that vehicle or the mechanism that brings together the faith and the virtue and the knowledge and the temperance and the patience and all those things. But then you come to the other side, and we said this week we're going to be talking about the boxcars that are behind the engine, if you will. The results of those Christian characters, which are brotherly kindness and charity, love. And so what is it that we're supposed to be hauling? What is it that we're supposed to be filling that boxcar with, this thing called brotherly kindness? You know, the first things that we're told to do is to add, remember, each one of these is a specific or a definite article is in front of each one of these in the original language, but it's not translated that way in our King James, which is fine, but it carries with it the idea of a very specific faith, a very specific virtue, a very specific knowledge, a very specific spirit control is what we called it, that temperance. A very specific patience or patient endurance is really the ideas behind that. And so as we get to this godliness, it's the godliness. And he says, add then the brotherly kindness. You know, when I think about brotherly kindness, I think about Johnny Barnes. Anybody in here ever hear of a fellow by the name of Johnny Barnes? He was a man that is a man that is 91 years old. He's a Bermuda native. And he was a bus driver for nearly 40 years. And as he drove a bus, he would just be a really, really just a nice guy. He developed a reputation during all those years in this small nation of only about 60,000 people as being extraordinarily friendly. But not simply because he greeted people with a smile or as they entered his bus. Barnes had a habit of taking a break and getting out of the bus and started waving to pedestrians and other drivers as they were just coming into town and waving at them. And then he began to expand his friendliness. He'd spend more time at this roundabout. And eventually, in one report that I read, it said he quit his bus driver's job and started doing that full time. He just went out there and greeted commuters as they came in. He'd get out there at this roundabout at 3:45 in the morning and stay till 10 o'clock Monday through Friday every week for 28 years. He's still doing it, as a matter of fact. You say, who's paying him to do this? Absolutely no one. He stands at the side of the road and he says, listen, I love you. He says, God loves you. And he's waving at people all the time. I read one account of a woman who was in a bad mood, and she was coming up on that that roundabout. And she said, I don't even want to, I know Johnny's up there, and I don't even want to see him. She said she was kind of embracing that bad moment she was having. But she said when she saw Johnny, she couldn't help but smile. They said one day when Johnny wasn't there, the phone number for the local municipality was flooded, wondering, is everything all right? And so he just shows up with a straw hat, a backpack, and a radio, and he spends 6 hours every day just waving and smiling at people as they come into work. He's become such a well-known institution that, as I said, when he doesn't show up, people begin to wonder. In a movie that was made about his life called Mr. Happy Man, it said that he was a religious man that is motivated to share God's love with others. Now, not everyone is as easy to get along with as Mr. Happy Man. Too often we fall into relational homicide by indulging in gossip, partiality, envy, bitterness, and sometimes even anger with those that we call brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're not careful, we're apt to demonstrate character traits that are that display the corruption that is in the world through lusts, verse 4, rather than the divine nature of which we are partakers, in verse 4. Is it any wonder that God commands us then to fill the boxcar of our Christian life with brotherly kindness? Why? Because it's not natural to be others-minded, it is natural to be self-minded or self-centered. Isn't it true that some people have a personality like sandpaper? I mean, listen, they may be a growing Christian, they may be even a mature Christian, they may be striving to be more Christ-like, and you may even have several friends in common with this person, but when you have to be around them, you cringe. Why? Simply because your personalities clash. Now, praise the Lord, I haven't found anybody like that here at Maranatha yet. But I know they're out there. Oftentimes, they're co-workers, sometimes family members, but wherever they lurk, we realize that if we're going to be obedient, to get along, to be kind, we had better start adding brotherly kindness to our repertoire of Christian characteristics. Let me also say that since love is the next characteristic that, Lord willing, we'll talk about next week, there must then be a difference between this brotherly kindness and the love. He wouldn't have said, and add to your love, love. All right? And so there is a difference between these two. Perhaps what is most interesting about this word is that in the secular Greek of the New Testament times, the word really was reserved only for blood relatives. It was the Christians of that day that pulled it into the spiritual vernacular and gave it a distinctly Christian flavor. Now, we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ all the time, and that's exactly why they brought this idea into their spiritual lives. Michael Green, a commentator, states that the New Testament is the only place where the word has been found outside the context of the home. A first century reader, he says, would therefore come across it with a sense of shock. Since the word is not used in Scripture as it would have been normally used in society, we have to then go to Scripture to see where else this word is used in our Bible. And it will be evident that the Spirit of God intended then for us to express this brotherly kindness, especially to those that are in the faith. That's the brotherly part of the brotherly kindness. You don't have to turn, but you can look back if you want to 1 Peter 1:22. I'll be reading these verses off, so you don't have to turn. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. So from these texts, we can see that God expects us to develop this familial affection towards others, but especially toward other believers. What then is the difference between this affection or kindness and the love that we're going to discuss next week? Well, brotherly kindness is really like the feeling of a friendship and a commonality with which you desire to fellowship and edify one another in the faith with which you have in that common bond, Jesus Christ, with that person. Okay? I remember when I was in the Navy, we sailed all around South America. And I have a globe in my office that has a little pin in every place that we stopped at along the way. And one of my friends on the ship had contacts in nearly every port that we stopped. And so we were able to spend some time with a missionary in every country that is on the coast of South America. What a delight that was. People I'd never met, people I will probably never see again this side of eternity. We had such a communion with them and such a bond with them. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. There was nothing else outside of that except our commonality in Christ. And they were gracious hosts. And I can remember at different times at one place, we were actually there on I don't know if it was Wednesday night, but it was a night that they were having services. And so we came in, and even despite a language barrier, we were able to give our testimony through an interpreter. And I could just see the people smiling as my friends told them how they'd gotten saved. And there was this wonderful fellowship because of Jesus Christ. And they showed this brotherly kindness to us by the hospitality that they gave. Even down in Mexico with the Shields, I remember going down to one of the churches where they have someone else pastoring now, and we had the opportunity to preach there. But again, there was this fellowship, something that cannot be explained. I couldn't go down to New York City and just meet somebody off the street necessarily and go have lunch and be able to carry out a conversation with somebody that didn't start out strained. But yet, you can go to another country and meet somebody you've never met before, and if you find out they're a Christian, there is a commonality. And what happens? Because of that, there is a brotherly kindness between the two of you. Now, the major difference between brotherly kindness and the love mentioned in verse is twofold. First, brotherly kindness is directed toward those that are in the faith, those that we share much in common with. We are, after all, in the same family, right? And so the charity mentioned in that verse really is to be exercised toward everyone, whether they are in the faith or not, and whether they return that love or not, which leads us really to the second major difference between brotherly kindness and charity. You see, this word brotherly kindness is translated from one Greek word, one you're probably very familiar with, Philadelphia. And is broken up between two smaller words, one which means to love or affection, and the other is brother. And so that's why it's translated in the King James as brotherly kindness. But this Philadelphia love truly flourishes, if you will, when it is reciprocated, when it is given back. Had I gone to any of these places, and they wouldn't have, if they had not been friendly to us, I'm not sure how long my friendliness would have been extended to them. For brotherly kindness to exist, friendliness must abound. You know, really that's the truth. We'll talk about this more next week about agape love, but agape love is really the only love that does not need reciprocated, does not need to be fed back. It is something that God gives to us whether we love Him or we don't. And it's just amazing to think about that. But this brotherly love, usually, you can extend it, but it is kindled and it is brought up to a burning flame, if you will, when it is responded to. How do I know that? Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, we run to that verse so often and say, listen, Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And praise the Lord, that's true. But I think when we think about this brotherly kindness and how that if we extend that kindness to someone, there is a commonality. To me, it brings on a whole new shade of meaning that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, two people that are brothers in Christ can have a stronger relationship than two brothers that are out of Christ. We always think about that being in Christ, but boy, I'm glad that in a place that I have no physical family, no blood relatives, that there is a church full of people that are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Have you ever noticed how our culture tries to achieve unity? What do? They focus on political correctness. And through that artificial pressure, if you will, they begin to to focus and celebrate everybody's difference or differences. What do they call that? Diversity, right? Or tolerance. We're supposed to tolerate one another's differences. But what does the Bible say about unity? The Bible promotes unity by commanding us to reinforce what we have in common, which is what? Jesus Christ. We are told to look past and even minimize the differences that we have. Now listen, I'm not talking about doctrinal differences. I'm not talking about things that are biblically something you have to stand on, the fundamentals of the faith. I'm talking about, listen, if you give your announcements before the offering or after. Some of you are still wondering, I'm still not sure which way Pastor Davidson's going to do it yet, all right? But I'm saying that there are some things that we can look and say, listen, this is not that important. We need to focus on that which is good and right and come together in unity. Again, I'm not talking about ecumenicalism. But I think we're so afraid sometimes of ecumenicalism, and we're so afraid of yoking up with the wrong people that this whole idea of independent means isolation. And I tell you, that's not God's goal in our life, is to be isolated from the world. We are to be, we might be insulated sometimes to the point we're unable to reach the world. The cross is the great equalizer, and as Jim Berg puts it, Christ has bought us all, sought us all, found us all, and claimed us all. And we are Christ's if we know Him as our personal Savior. However, this brotherly kindness must be cultivated. It must be loaded into the boxcar because our tendency is to be kind to those people that are like us. Right? Those people that we have other commonalities. Sometimes trivial, sometimes silly, but always superficial. Maybe they're from the same part of the country you're from. And maybe their favorite pro basketball team is the LA Lakers. Or maybe you like them because they don't like sports at all. Whatever it is that you share in common, music or fashion, or maybe you come from the same ethnic or economic background, the essence of friendship and the essence of brotherly kindness are similar in that they both are grounded in the sharing of something in common, one man said. And that's the truth. Listen, here's the key, though. You don't want to mistake friendship with brotherly kindness. And I'll tell you why. Because brotherly kindness is going to do that which is right for the person that you are friends with. Now, I guess being a good friend would as well. But I think about when we surround ourselves with people that only think like we think, and we even create virtual worlds or a virtual reality in which we only like those things that we already agree with. Okay? And so I'm not saying social media is evil or it's wicked or bad, but I'm telling you that sometimes it can reinforce that which is good and help us to be better. It'll strengthen our faith. But I'll tell you, when we are insulated like that, if there is a flaw and the group think is thinking in the wrong direction, then what happens? It will magnify that weakness in our life. Well, I can't tell you, maybe once or twice, probably less than five times I've ever got on Facebook. My wife and I have an account. She doesn't spend a lot of time on it, but it helps us stay up to date with people. It's a tool. And but we knew some people going through a hard time, and so she got on there, and I don't know if she's going to leave a message or how all that stuff works, but they said something that was absolutely anti-biblical. It was just, you know, I'm going to get a divorce, or I'm going to do something. I'm sick and tired of that. I don't remember what it was. And there was a litany, a tirade of people that says, you shouldn't have to put up with this. You don't deserve to be treated this way. This is not fair, and so on and so forth. And really, there's a lot of people that were recommending to her that she should get a divorce from this man. And I thought, boy, that certainly wasn't brotherly kindness, although those people called her their friends, not only were they giving her bad advice, they were not standing up for her spiritually. You see, so brotherly kindness is not just the idea of being hospitable. It's not just about being kind or having friendships. I believe brotherly kindness is also standing in the gap in helping you to see your blind spots. You see, listen, I didn't write down the verse, but in Proverbs, doesn't talking about somebody that kisses or open rebuke is better than secret love? That's the idea of this brotherly kindness. And I'm afraid that we have created a culture of enablers that say, oh yeah, that's okay. And people would say things in a virtual reality that they would never tell somebody to their face. Be careful. Be careful what kind of advice you give somebody. I remember listening to Dr. Surrett our first week in counseling. He said, be careful what kind of advice you give to somebody, what kind of counsel that you give somebody. They just might take it. Be a godly friend. Brotherly kindness. Make sure that you are giving somebody biblical advice. Yes, we do it in love. Yes, we do it with kindness. But you stand up for God when you have that opportunity. The godly man's objective is to love what God loves. And then, therefore, to hate what he hates. In the flesh or in the virtual world. You know, there's another phrase that is used in the New Testament that gives us an idea how we ought to treat one another. Actually, that's the phrase. Excuse me, one another, taken from the Greek word alelion. God has in these verses given us the attitudes with which we are to treat one another. In Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. We're to be warm-hearted towards those in the faith. The last part of Romans 12:10 says, in honor, preferring one another. And so we are to be others-focused, if you will. We are to be unified. Now the God of all patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, Romans 15:5. We're to be nice to one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. We're supposed to forgive one another. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're to be humble towards one another. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Listen, God not only gives us the attitude in which we are God not only gave the attitude that He expects us to express towards one another, He also gives us the actions with which we are to treat each other. Now we're going to do some turning, and so I'm just going to point and call out a verse, and you turn your Bible there, and then when we get there, you're just going to have to remember where it is, all right? So we'll start over here. Stephen, Romans 4:19. Daniel, if you'll look up Romans 5:7. Mrs. Beale, if you'll look up Ephesians 4:2. Hit everybody on this side over here. I better hit some people over here. Jed, why don't you look up Romans 15:14. Josh, look up Colossians 3:13. Brother Thomas, if you look up James 4:11. Zach, we look up Colossians 3:13. Brother Ivan, we look up Colossians 3:9. Brother Measler, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Katie, look up James 5:16. Abby, look up 1 Peter 4:9. I think we'll have time for all these. And then a Christian, if you'll look up Hebrews 10:25, and then Brother Scoville, if you will look up James 5:9. All right, so Romans 14:19. Okay, one and another. It's the same phrase. So we are to edify one another. Listen, these are no longer the attitudes that we are to express towards one another. They are the actions that we are to pour out on one another. Now listen, there are over 90 different phrases of one another in the New Testament. Not all of them are really germane to our study tonight, and so we just have a small list, but it's a wonderful study just to go through this idea of one another. Romans 15:7. That's all right. All right, so what do you get from that, Daniel? What are we supposed to do? Yeah, we're supposed to accept one another, right? We're not to be cliquish. What happens when there's a clique is somebody's left out. And I'll tell you what's involved with that very clearly is pride. That person is not good enough to be with me. And so it's very easy then to say, listen, it's us four and no more, and then everybody else is out on their own. But the Bible says here that we are to receive or accept one another. That's interesting. All right, Ephesians 4:2. All right, what do you get from that? Yeah, and so there's this humility, but also forbearing, right? So time and time again, you're going to see that we are to be humble. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talks about this lowliness of mind. And so Christ was humble. Do you realize he came to serve others? But not only that, it says to forbearing or having patience with each other. I tell you, when you're with that person that has that sandpaper personality, do you know what takes the bite out of sandpaper quicker than anything? Oil. Even if you have a rasp. I've known some people with a rasp for a personality. If you pour oil on a rasp, I mean, that just takes the cut and the bite. Do you know what oil is a picture of in our Bible? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And so if you're going to show brotherly kindness towards someone else, you're going to have to be patient with them. That's not always easy. Once or twice, yeah, you can spend a couple of minutes with somebody or an hour with somebody, but day after day working with them or day after day having to room with this person, being a roommate or being a brother or a sister, hopefully not a husband or wife. I'm not looking at anybody that's enduring marriage, I hope. But I'm telling you, it takes patience. Ephesians 4:2. Oh, that's when, I'm sorry. Yeah, but there's, okay, there was two on that one. Obeying others, that's right, humility. Romans 15:14. What do you get out of that? What are we to do to one another? It's right there at the end. Admonish. Now, that doesn't mean we come high-minded, but what that is that we are a friend, not full of secret love, but open rebuke in a sense, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean open in front of that person's friends and family, but it means that you aren't going to try to hide whatever thing that you see in this person's life. And I'll tell you, I would rather have a good friend that says, listen, pastor, you know, I've seen this, or have you thought about this in your ministry or life, rather than somebody that goes and tells everybody else about it. All right, how about Colossians 3:13? All right, what's the major thought in there? Forbear and forgive. Again, this idea of being patient, but also forgiving. Forgiving. Boy, I always think about Peter, excited to tell Jesus, Lord, if I'm going to be spiritual, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? Seven times? Now remember, probably in that culture, three times was very, very generous. And so Peter, you know, he always wants to double that, and I'm going to add one just to make sure. And the Lord just says, listen, as many times as they offend you, if they come back to you, continue to forgive them. And I'll tell you, if you have if you grew up with a brother or a sister, you understand how that is, right? If you're married, you understand how that is. But let me tell you, you need to give that same idea to the coworker that you have or the person that you go to school with or sometimes even your children. And forgive them because they're not going to be perfect. By the way, you're not going to be either. James 4:11. All right, brother, what do you think about that one? Yeah, that's right. Amen. You don't speak ill. You don't trash talk. You know, we live in a society that revels in trash talk. Now, some of y'all don't know what trash talk is, but I'll just tell you, it's when you are constantly berating or speaking derogatorily about somebody else. Usually it's associated with sports, and usually it's followed by how great I am. Okay, but this culture, it revels in this idea of talking down or bad about somebody else. I've known some people, and you've known some people in your life, that the only way they think they can get ahead is by taking else or someone else down a notch. Boy, I had a teenager in my youth group one time. Such potential in his life, but the one thing that he could never grab or get a control of was his tongue. And if you want to, we could really spend some time tonight talking about brotherly kindness and talk about our tongue. Because it's with our tongues that marriages sometimes are obliterated, and sometimes it's with our tongues that children are absolutely demolished. It's with our tongues that friendships are broken apart, and it's with our tongues that really puts us in a place that we don't even realize how much vileness that we can put out. But we're talking without thinking, or talking without being spiritually minded. And so this idea of not speaking ill of others, I think, is so very important. I think I gave somebody this verse already. It was Colossians 3:13. Did I hand that to someone else? I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if I passed it or not. I put it on here twice by accident. All right, Colossians 3:9. Brother Gabe, what do you think? Specifically in that verse, in what area? Lie not. That's right. We're to tell the truth. We're to tell the truth, right? Now, that seems very basic. Very basic. But do you understand there is a generation and a culture that is around us that says, listen, as long as you're not hurting anybody, as long as nobody else is going to find out, as long as it gets me out of trouble or gets me what I want, it's okay to lie. But I'm telling you, the standard has not changed. And God says if you're going to show brotherly kindness, especially to the household of faith, you are going to have to tell the truth. Even when it causes you pain, even when it causes you to get in trouble, even if it's going to have consequences that you are not looking forward to, the Bible is clear and God is clear. You must tell the truth. You must tell the truth. This idea of one another, carrying with the idea of brotherly kindness, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Amen. Amen. We're to comfort one another. And specifically in that passage, it is about the rapture. But I'm glad to know that in a time of need, that I can go and be a comfort to somebody, or they can come and be a comfort to me. You know, sometimes I think we are so afraid of not knowing what to say, we don't go and we don't say anything. Can I encourage you, when someone's going through a difficult time, maybe they just need somebody to sit with them. Maybe they need somebody just to listen to them. So don't be afraid to go, even if you don't know what to say. I really believe the Lord will help you to know what to say. And I think a lot of times, just your presence is a comfort to somebody that's struggling. James 5:16. So there's a couple things in there. One of them would certainly be to confess our faults. I think that means to admit when you're wrong. That's not always easy to do either. We can be excuse factories when we want to be. We can always have a reason why it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. or whatever the case is, but I think it's saying, listen, if you were wrong, fess up to it. But it also says then to tell people you're going to be praying for them. That's not exactly what it says. It says to actually pray for them. What do we do a lot of times? I'll be praying for you, and that's the last we ever think about it. Listen, if you really want to load up on brotherly kindness, if you really want to demonstrate in your life brotherly kindness to somebody, don't just tell them that you're going to pray for them. Do it. Do it. Pray for them. You don't even have to necessarily tell them, but although I think that's an encouragement many times, but don't just tell somebody, listen, I'll be praying for you. And I think we've probably all been guilty of that. You know, I'll try to write it down so I don't forget. What I've started trying to do is, listen, why don't we pray about it right now? And I tell you, you can have an impact in somebody's life if you just take a few minutes and somebody's struggling and they say, listen, will you pray about this? And you say, let's pray about it right now. And you can, you can pray about it later, but don't just say you're going to pray about something. Pray about it. 1 Peter 4:9. What do you think? Yeah. Be hospitable or be giving to one another. I really appreciate the fact that the names of our college meal list has been filled up as far as I know. You know what? People are opening their homes. We're going to open up the church for all the college people on one meal. I don't know if that's hospitable or not. It's not the same as sitting on somebody's sofa. Y'all can go into my office and take turns sitting on the sofa on that week, all right? But I'm encouraged to see people that are hospitable. They open up their homes. They open up their tables to people that are coming through the church. And that's an encouragement. I want to encourage you, don't ever stop doing that. Be hospitable, especially what? To the household of faith. I just want to keep reminding you that. That's that brotherly aspect of brotherly love. What about Hebrews 10:25? What do you think? Right. That's good. That's good. That's excellent. So we're to encourage other people. And just being here is an encouragement sometimes. But it's even better when you get a chance to give a word of encouragement. But I think that I had a... Church is the answer. Christ is the answer. Okay? But one of the best places to be able to put your children in a place of people that love the Lord. Why don't you turn me down just a little bit more? I think this thing died on me. But church is a place that we can grow and learn, be edified, be exhorted, and it's a good place for children to grow and to be fed on the Word of God. It's so important. And so many people today, and I know I'm preaching, well, literally to the choir, but I want to reassure you and let you know that church is the right place to be. It's a good place to be. It's an edifying place to be. But with that concept, it is really to encourage one another. Be an encouragement. Be a Barnabas to someone. And in James 5:9, did I not pass that one out? Brother Scoville.
James 5:9,
right, that grudging carries with it the idea of grumbling or complaining. And so we don't complain about others to others, okay?
Can I tell you, if somebody comes to you to complain about somebody or to talk about somebody to you, they are probably talking about you to somebody else. Don't listen to it. But more than that, don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to show brotherly kindness to someone, make sure that you are being edifying and not speaking ill and not complaining about others. It's easy to complain. It is easy to complain. You realize that? Because what we're doing then is listing off all the offenses that have happened in our life. And it really puts us, what? In the center focus of our life. Look what's happened to me. Look what this instructor or this professor did to me. Look what this boss did to me. Look what this pastor did to me. Look what, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And what happens is then we're focused on ourselves all the time. It's easy to complain. But you know, when you put Christ as the center, and you see the offenses that we've given to Him, and we have a Christ-centered life rather than a self-centered life, we realize that the offenses that we receive, we're dead to trespasses and sin, or we are crucified with Christ, and therefore those offenses shouldn't mean anything to us. Don't complain about others. But if you're going to be a mature Christian, you're going to have to take these verses very, very seriously. It won't be easy because, as I said, we're naturally self-centered, and these call for us to be others-centered. God places great weight and seriousness on this idea of brotherly kindness. I want you to turn with me this time, everybody, to two passages. They're both in 1 John, over just a couple of pages. The first one is 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know this? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Go over now to chapter 4 of the same book. Look with me, if you will, at verse 20 and 21. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's pretty serious business. And so this idea of brotherly kindness is not just one more log to stack on the on top of the stack of the lumber that you've already been carrying through these Christian characters. But God says this is the result of that faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and all those things leading up to godliness. And the result of that is this brotherly kindness. How much of that do you have in your life? Ask yourself tonight, am I known to be nice? Is it my reputation to be others focused or like-minded? Am I tender-hearted towards other people? Am I as patient with them as I want people to be with me? Maybe you say, you know, I'm not doing too bad in that. But if you answered yourself yes, ask yourself one last question. Am I this way only with people who are like me, or people with whom I have some other commonality besides Christ? And I'll tell you, if it's true, then it's just a friendship, and it's not brotherly kindness. And Christ has called us to show that brotherly kindness. So you're wondering what happened to Mr. Happy Man. They erected a statue in his honor. The second statue ever erected in Bermuda was to a man still living who didn't have a job but went out and spread kindness and joy to other people. He tells them that he loves them, that God loves them, and gives them a reason to smile. Do you realize this world is looking for some people to show true, genuine kindness one to another? And might I add, especially to the household of faith. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Charity. Charity.